instincts. We all have instincts. Animals have instincts. These instincts serve us as a protection so that we remember things that might put us in harm's way and guide us through life so that we can survive. Survival mechanisms. I had instincts as a child whenever I would smell alcohol because I was forced to be around an alcoholic that abused me. He abused me terribly. My instinct with the odor, the scent of an alcoholic beverage or breath of someone with alcohol, even in their vehicle or in their home, would make me shy away from them. Just like animals, you know, a horse or we'll say a dog, because those two are pretty common to most people. You have access to at least a dog at one point in your life. They may forgive you or may forgive people if they're not abusing them later on, but they still have the instinct. If you can tell when an animal's been beat or hurt or abused, because even if you're softly reaching out to them, they kind of shy away. They'll let you pet them, but they're really shy about it. Like they're real leery, and that's exactly how it feels to be abused as a child. You forgive over and over again, but you still have a protective instinct to try to stay away from those survival traits that you've seen. You know, whatever brought you harm, you want to stay away from that scent, that feeling. So alcohol is one of those things that I fought with a lot with anyone that tried to get close to me. The smell, the odor of alcohol. Now I'm talking about liquor, beer. It was mainly beer. And as an adult, I did not like beer. I've never really been a big drinker. But all the alcohol that I was exposed to by sense, I do not like them. I stay away from them because it might as well be, you know, like when you're a child and you touch the stove to find out that what hot means. This is the same thing with a scent for me. Alcohol is, I'm going to get hurt. So you would think that someone who was abused with alcohol in the picture as the main fuel would stay away from that particular type of person, which I did shy away from. But the crazy, coincidental, ironic, whatever word you want to use thing is that I married someone that was an alcoholic. He wasn't at the time, I don't think, an alcoholic, but he was a heavy drinker. And I was abused by him, whether it was neglect or violent speaking, or there's some things that I don't need to name out, but there was some violence, bad behaviors, which should have been associated for me. And I recognized it, but I ignored it. So I guess that's what I'm talking about. Instincts. We tend to ignore our instincts that are clearly there to protect us. Smelling alcohol on someone makes me look at them again, like now. Okay, is this just something that it's not always harmful, but it does give you got to follow that gut instinct and maybe be around them for a while and see what their behaviors are. Because not everyone that drinks alcohol or has a beverage is going to be abusive. So they're there to protect us, to open up your gut instinct. Hey, check it out first. Don't touch it. It might not be as hot as you think, but just kind of hover over it for a little while before you put your hand on it. So that's one thing that I'm positive that those instincts are there for a reason, and we just don't tap into them. So I've learned that, to tap into my instincts. So alcohol is one of them. It fueled a lot of abusive people in my life that have been in my life. And once I addressed that and recognized that, I don't have that anymore. And if I can sense that about someone, they're not in my small circle. Unless, you know, they're family, and they're still not in my small circle. I'll just kind of set myself outside of that little area and not expose myself as much. Now, not all people that are alcoholics, not just drink a little bit, but alcoholics are abusive. So I follow that instinct. I don't feel like I have any alcoholic or alcohol-driven angry people in my life anymore. I finally picked that one up and eyeballed it and got rid of it. Got rid of those people. Still have the instinct. But that's one of them, is an alcoholic. And I want to continue talking about traits and some things I can relate it to. I was, you know, I talked about this on an earlier episode. And you may not know about it, because if you haven't, you didn't listen to all of them. But on an earlier episode, I talk about as a child, I was forced. Because you did what you were told, or you would get in trouble. And, discipline's okay. And I spoke about that, too. Like, you should listen to your parents or whoever's in charge of you if you respect them. I did not respect this particular man, but he was an alcoholic, and he would, you know, have us make him drinks, meaning the children of the house. Which, if you do that to your child, God bless you. Just bless your heart. Bless your heart. It makes me sick. Get help. Because that affects your child. We don't need to have 5-year-old bartenders. If that were the case, then, I mean, just look at it that way. Do we have underage bartenders? For a reason. So I would, we were asked, fix me a drink. So I would go and do as I was told and pour some beer out of a can and then put alcohol in it and liquor, and then have to fetch it to this person that you despised. I could not stand his scent, his beady little nasty eyes. Like, if you've ever heard anyone describe someone as having beady eyes, it doesn't mean the shape to me. It's a death eye. It's a cold death eye. And there were times when I would be asked to make a drink by this person that I would make it incorrectly. Because I'm not a bartender, and I wanted him to know it was out of, I was being disrespectful, because he didn't earn my respect. He was completely on the bottom of that respect totem pole. And one time, I was being purposely disrespectful and put water in it, and he threw it across the room. No one was there in that room at the time, and he was already intoxicated to the point of passing out. So when he passed out in the chair, it kind of I remember taking what I was supposed to put in the can and just pouring it all over him. That's pretty gross. Like, I think of that action as being gross, but he was a gross person. And I made it look like he peed his pants. So, you know, when I would get abused, I'd try to think of creative ways to get back at him, or to make him feel crazy himself, because he made me feel crazy by doing things like that. And someone I know did the same thing. They were asked to fetch something from the refrigerator, so they were like, okay, they would shake it up and hand it to him. And that to me is hysterical. Like, you know, you don't have to be the same kind of person, that the one that's abusing you or being mean to you. But you can do some harmless things like that if to show them. Maybe karma is just someone's way of showing you that you're being disrespectful to them. It's not karma. That was purposely done. So I'm sure there is karma too. I really feel like karma is real. Real karma can show its ways in positive and negative. But anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off the subject. But so yeah, I made him look like he peed his pants. And I wanted him to feel the embarrassment and shame that I would feel having to go to school, not having enough rest because I was always on guard. On guard that he was going to do something to me. And even if it wasn't something that I had not already experienced from him, and maybe it wouldn't be like painful, but it would be painful on my body. It would be painful in my mind. I wanted him to experience that mind pain. And excuse this expression, but basically a mind fuck. That's what he did to me. And I wanted to mind fuck him back, which is really that's an abusive action on my part too. But as a defenseless child in early teens, you know, I'm sure there has been some stories of teenagers killing their parents and things like that. But I knew that I couldn't do that. That was not my way. And before, you know, I attempted to do that, the only way out was to get rid of both of us. I would do things like that because I'm not a violent person. Like, I might sling things. In my past, I've, you know, taken a pillow and hit my bed to keep from being dumb and throwing my phone or whatever I had at the time. Because I think that's dumb. When people throw their own objects and break them or kick in, this, you know, things that are yours that you have to pay for. Yeah, that's double stupid. But so I never did that. I never hurt my own stuff because I had very little. So, yeah, I would have to go to school with little rest and look in a raggedy mess because I just didn't care. You know, I didn't look horrible, but I wouldn't, first of all, I wasn't allowed to look cute by this person for a long time. There were periods of time where if an outfit might attract another male, I was not allowed to wear it. I couldn't be myself. I couldn't express myself. And it may not show anything graphic, but he just did not want anyone to have attention on me. So when my mom would try to buy us clothes that were fashionable, she'd have to sneak around and do it because he wouldn't let her do that. He wanted us to look like raggedy people so that we didn't get attention. And you can sometimes do everything in your power to look your best. But if you have on, you know, children, even now, that don't have the latest fashion or, you know, at least close, you will get picked on. And I didn't really get picked on. I just wasn't noticed, which in a way was fine with me because I didn't want to be friends with people that I had to tell my life to. And I did not tell anyone. So that kind of worked out fine. I mean, it was a neutral situation for me, but for other kids, it may not be that way. You know, kids are so honest, and I'm not saying you don't need to develop a thick skin about that, about, you know, be proud of what you have, but that's a different situation if what you have has been done out of love and care and they're doing the best they can to take care of you. Because I was that parent. I was trying to do the best I could, even if it wasn't the right exact designer shirts and things. I would go to a thrift store and buy the best things I could. Like, I did the best I could to make them look, my kids look presentable, you know, and fashionable and trendy and all that. because I didn't have that. And I think a lot of people make up for things because of what they didn't have. So I did try. I don't know how successful I was at that, but I feel like you always try to do a little better than what you had. Most people do. So that's something to just kind of keep in your mind, that it made my life hell, having to deal with certain things and hide, and I had, you know, just getting up and going to school every day was a torture. I mean, I loved playing on the playground and learning new things, and I'm learning more now, normal things, like, I want to learn more. The older I get, the more I want to learn, which I'm sure that happens to a lot of people, but I feel like I just didn't have that open channel at that time. It's like I went from toddler to adult, you know, as a child, and I never had that in-between learning fun stage and experimenting with makeup or whatever. I didn't have that until after all this stuff happened to me. So I had no base to go off of. I didn't have like a sturdy foundation. I had a very crumbly foundation of piss poor parenting. One parent, my mom, she was trying to just survive and keep us safe, I think. And then, you know, the stepfather was an alcoholic, and his goal was to use people in every capacity, from financial situations, sexual situations, power situations. He was disturbed. I'm for sure he had some psychopath diagnosis. And everyone wants to say, well, what happened to him? I don't know, and I don't care. Maybe he was abused. I don't know. And that's probably what will be said. You know, he was traumatized as a kid. Well, okay. He's not here anymore. I am. And other kids are. And stop making excuses for these bastards. Or bitches. Whichever. These abusive people. And myself, too. I take full responsibility for some bad actions and bad behavior. And I'm trying to correct them. And so I'm saying that to everyone. You know, stop excusing everyone that's done some harm. That they have a mental problem. Yeah, they have a mental problem, but that doesn't give them the right to keep doing it. And we don't punish people for that. I mean, if we don't. We give them a pill and we send them on their way. Or we give them a pill and they go to therapy. Therapy in quotation marks, because therapy for some people is a lie. It's a lie. I went to therapy as a young teenager after all this happened. It was kind of part of a mandatory thing, even though I felt wronged that they didn't, you know, they didn't punish him, but that was a punishment to me. Like, I had to go tell people my story over and over and over. It was supposed to be for my mental health, but it was more, I had to make up lies because I didn't want to tell the story anymore. I wanted to forget it and move on. I wanted to get on with my teenage years in my life. So in order to do that, I had to tell that person what they wanted to hear. That therapist would ask me how everything was. Are you adjusting? Do you have any bad feelings? And I would always answer exactly, I guess, the right way. You know, just kind of, yeah, everything's fine. Uh-huh. Nope. I'm good. School's good. Mm-hmm. Yep. Lies. Lie, 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 lie. And I look back on it, and if I could have opened up to that therapist, which I know that therapist was trying to do their best, but I didn't have that care. It was past the point of that. I had done it for 9 years of my life. 9 solid years of some of the most formative years of your life. You're developing coping mechanisms of your own, and they're not the right ones necessarily, but the instinct was there. So I did get that. I did keep that. Like, that instinct, it's there. But the coping with all these things, I coped with what was happening to me by becoming introverted and shy, so to speak. I wasn't shy, but I would pretend. And I wasn't necessarily a honor roll student. I was the first couple years of school just because I thought that would get me out of this situation, and it didn't. Like, maybe if I make good grades, he'll leave me alone. But it wasn't about that. Abusive people like that, it's about power over someone. Power over things. Power over everything. And it's not going to be someone that's bigger or badder than them. It's going to be someone smaller and less powerful. That's where they suck. They are the vampires of life. Abusive people are vampires of life and spirit and pure and whole. And that was a rambling moment that I hope will help someone. But just remember the instincts. We all have them. Listen to them. Gut. Everything. Listen to them. Thank you, and I will talk to you more later. Okay, so I'm continuing on with some genetic things and traits on my next episode that I release about genetics. I'm going to discuss how abuse, neglect, anything in our childhood can scar our DNA in future generations. So I'll get more in depth with that. And there's actual markers on your DNA. These markers, how they could have scarred me or scarred my genetics, my DNA, and affected me, and if they did, what are those effects, and what do I think the cause and effect is, or if I've seen any signs of that. And until then, have a good day, have a good week, be kind to yourself and to everyone around you. We all have our stories, and we have to share and understand that we're not all the same people. On that note, I'll see you next time.